Thank you. Alex?
Good morning, everybody. That was weird. It's good to see everybody. Small crowd today, but I guess that's okay. We have a lot going on in our lives, but one of the most important things we do is gather together and worship God. Amen? Awesome. It is good to see everybody, though. I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're here in body or you're watching us online, I want to wish you all a very blessed day. It's very important, I think, that we take the time out of our lives every week to worship God. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you give us. We thank you for this time that we can come together. Lord, we ask you open our hearts and our minds to word, not in ways that I can preach it, Lord, but that you help use me as a way to speak your truth. Thank you for all that you do for us. In your most heavenly name we pray. Amen. I've been thinking a lot about this concept of I get to stand in front of you guys and talk about the Bible. And one of my biggest worries is I'm preaching John Paul's message and not God's message. And this kind of came to a head because last night I was bored, and I decided to go to this website that I go to when I'm bored. It's not a bad website. It's called Twitch. I don't know if that's familiar with it. And Twitch has a section where millions of people can listen to other people talk. And you have people there that are, I mean, really nobody, but as far as the world is concerned, but they have hundreds of people just listening to these people talk. And they're offering their spiritual wisdom. And I'm like, I hope I am never like that. I hope people don't come to listen to John Paul talk. I hope people come to listen to what God has to say. And that I constantly am doing what God wants me to do. And I worry that someday, some people like what we're reading about in Corinthians are going to be like, no, I follow this person. No, it's never be about following this person. It should always be about following God because of the relationship you have in Christ. But sometimes I think we kind of forget that. We get caught up in our own tribes. We get caught up in our own ideas, our own political thoughts. And so we kind of lose sight of what's important. It kind of reminds me of, you guys get sick and you're like, okay, well, I wonder what's wrong with me. Well, I have the internet. I'll go to the internet. Okay, I guess I have cancer. and it's kind of like, and I thought this meme was a good way to illustrate that using worldly wisdom to diagnose your problems is probably going to give you the choose-your-own-adventure that always results in death. Because that's not what we do when it comes to our spiritual health. Well, we don't go and we look for the wisdom of man. We go and try to find the wisdom of Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about here. But Paul starts in a very positive message. This actually backs up earlier in the chapter, not with what we just read, but starting in about verse 2. Paul is making sure that they understand one thing that is absolutely true, and in fact, in his mind, that he has no doubt about it, that they are saved. It's the very, very first thing he focuses on. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who are in every place, called upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their name and our both their Lord and ours. Sorry. That's what I get when I don't look at what I'm reading. So he's like, I don't have any doubt that you guys are Christians. You guys have done everything you needed to do to get here. So what I'm writing you about today does not specifically pertain to your salvation, but you kind of just going off the path a little bit. And so what he wants to make sure is that they don't veer way off the path, but they just kind of move back on to the route that they should be on. I mean, this point is so important that in 10 verses, he basically tells them how important Christ is in their life 10 different times. Because when it comes to Christ, he says, the answer is clear. Live as you were called. And though Paul doesn't really focus a lot about this, this point is emphasized all over the New Testament, especially in Paul's writings himself, where he says, we are called to be justified, we are called to be sanctified, he does say this later in 1 Corinthians, we are called to be guiltless, he said this in verse 8, in Timothy he says we are called to be faithful, he kind of is saying that in verse 9, but he focuses 9 on one word, and we are called to be in fellowship. And I think that gives a lot of people pause, because everything else before that really just has to do with their relationship with Christ. Now he's saying, I'm gonna focus on everything that has to do with our relationship in Christ. I think that kind of makes a lot of people uncomfortable. But what Paul is talking about here is he is talking about the koinonia, this idea of intimate participation in our relationship in Christ. This word shows up 19 times in the New Testament. So, not one of the more common words. In fact, in my book, in my Greek book, it was probably one of those words listed on the side because it doesn't show up very, very often. But the idea is you have this intimate relationship because of your relationship in Christ. The New American Standard translates this mostly to mean fellowship. But you can kind of see that these three other things, the three other ways that they translate it, are along those exact same lines. So Paul and the other authors of the New Testament expect us to be part of this koinonia. And what does he mean by koinonia? He means, by exactly what he writes in verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, here's the key part. That you all agree and that there be no divisions among you. No divisions among you. That you be united in the same mind and be in the same judgment. So Paul gives us an absolute. This is not a modal. This is not a possibility. He's like, this has to happen. If you are a brother and sister and you claim to be in Christ, you have to be united. There can be no divisions. He sets the bar way up here. And we want to treat it like it's down here. It's no big deal. So I feel like this is probably the biggest thing that we struggle with as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, is being united. Why? Well, in the context of what we're going to read, it comes down to, at least in the church at Corinth, it comes down to these two things. That they are this haughty devotion or this misplaced loyalty. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But for us, it probably struggles down to something on this list. Maybe it's because of the wealth difference of people in this church. Maybe it's because of the political differences of people in this church. The culture, the belief, the caste. Oh, that's probably not something in this church. But really, I think it just kind of boils down to one of these three things. Perspective, jealousy, or pride. You maybe want something that somebody has, or maybe you feel like somebody has wronged you in some way and you just can't get over it, or maybe you just don't see things the same way as your brother and sister in Christ. But he goes on to say here, before he gets to this point, he wants to establish something that all of us should already be well aware of, and that is that we all have this truth because we are part of the body of Christ. We received this godly wisdom, we received this godly grace, we've received this godly knowledge, we all have our spiritual gifts, and all of these are pointing us into the direction of being good, godly Christians, but we're still having division. And division, as Paul is going to point out, is a great sin. It's an awful thing. it's contrary to the will of God. He says that we have to be united. So if we're not united, we are not following Christ. We are essentially following our own flesh. Now, Paul doesn't list this as a work of the flesh, but because it is something born out of selfishness, it essentially becomes a work of the flesh. It doesn't even just stop there. It doesn't necessarily have to do with us, but because of its nature, it kind of fills in one little spot and spirals all over the body. And once it gets there, it stops all progress of the church. It hinders the gospel. It gives the devil and his followers and the world a great foothold to say, look at them. They can't even agree. Why would you want to be part of them? When you could come over here where we're having this one big party and everybody's happy and they get to do whatever they want, why would you want to follow that? Division makes the church unhealthy in so many different ways. But where I think it really gets dangerous is we think it's mostly just about this small part and not as affecting the body as a whole. And this mostly has to do because, I mean, we're selfish people. I mean, we care more about us than anybody else. And not, don't get me wrong, you need to care about you. You are important. You need to make sure you're taking care of yourself. And if you're not taking care of yourself at the expense of other people, then you're probably doing something wrong too. But this is about being selfish in that way that it is essentially hindering everything else. And Paul's like, I already see this division. And this is where it gets dangerous. It's because you are essentially using something good to be divisive. There's people that have taught you the gospel. These wonderful people, Cephas, Apollos, Paul, all of them have showed you the gospel, and you're turning it into a point of contention. And none of them would want to see that. In fact, he even lists the words, I follow Christ. I mean, that's a positive, right? That's what you want, right? This is what he's talking about, that haughty devotion, in the fact that, not that it's bad that you're following Christ, but you're essentially using it to lord over those other people. You're even taking the name of Christ and turning it into a vain statement. A healthy church is one that seeks unity. And right now, the church in Corinth is not a healthy church. Well, at least in the time of Paul writing this. And I want to be clear. When Paul's talking about unity, he's not talking about that we're here together. All of us are here together, right? That doesn't mean we're united together. It doesn't mean that we hang out. It certainly doesn't mean that we're in constant agreement. Because we're going to disagree about things. I mean, maybe I disagree about... here's something. My wife's like, you let the kids dress like that today? I'm like, yeah, that didn't bother me. that's not what Paul's talking about. He doesn't mean blindly following authority or having perfect conformity. He's talking about one that is following this standard of Christ. One that is built upon thought and judgment when it comes to being Christians in the body. And we align ourselves by this standard, the one that God has set. And that everything else is secondary to that standard. It's not about us, it's about God. I think that's a good way to tell if something is healthy or not healthy, is ask yourself that question. Is this about me in any way? And if you're caught up in this idea of something that's wrong, mostly because it's about you, then you're probably missing the point. But when it comes to things that should be healthy, it comes to that standard of teaching Christ, that we are one that is built upon the biblical principles that we are. We have one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one hope, one Spirit. In these things, this is where we definitely need to be united. Are we going to disagree? Sure. Yes. But we should never be disagreeing about these things. So this is probably a little shorter than I'm normally used to, but I really want to ask this question. And I don't want an answer. I think maybe that will cause division. But I really want to ask this question because it's really something I really want you guys to think about this week. Are we a healthy church? I don't mean Christians in general. I mean everybody in this room gathered together on this day. Are we a healthy church? Do we have divisions? Or do you have divisions here? Or do you have unresolved anger, bitterness among people that are here or not here? Are you worried about things, about who's supposed to do what, and whether or not you're going to offend somebody? Are there secret meetings going on? All these are clues, or not clues, red flags of an unhealthy church. And if we are an unhealthy church, what do we have to do to get back there? And if we're not, what do we have to do to stay there? I really hope it's we can be a healthy church. But a lot of this comes down to you. It requires a lot of self-reflection. Like, am I doing my part? Am I holding on to something when I should be letting go? Does it even really matter? Do I care more about being right than being a brother and sister in Christ? God has given us this wisdom to do the right thing. We just need to make sure that we are applying it correctly. And I also want to understand that in this message, I'm not talking about not saying your piece. Especially if it comes to a brother or sister who has wronged you, because you have an obligation to go. But you also have that obligation to let it go, and especially if it's a matter of sin. Well, not let it go if it's a matter of sin, but deal with the issue if it's a matter of sin. Because if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, we are not only hurting the body, but we are hurting the gospel. And that's something I never want to see happen. I had a conversation with the elders a while back. Maybe it was when I came here, and we talked about, I don't ever want me to be a point of contention. If you feel like you have to get rid of me because I'm hurting the church, then you need to do it. Because I want, hopefully, I'd hope that you guys would come and talk to me about, okay, John Paul, you're doing this, and this isn't a good thing. We need you to be this. And if I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that, then you guys need to let me go. But we also have that obligation to work it out as well. We can be a healthy church, and I hope that we can, like I said, a lot of it just comes down to us. This is a rather different message than I'm used to speaking, but it's one that I think is really, really important. Paul elaborates more on this in chapter 3. But for now, I think my point is that all of us can be great Christians, and the gospel can be great because of the work that God does through us. And if that's something you struggle with, or if that's something we can help you out, or if you'd just like to respond to this message in any way, we invite you to come forward as we sing this song.